and welcome to another episode of Jeff Brazier Only Human. This podcast is all about saying out loud what we're finding tough right now and sharing advice and tips on the things that are helping, removing the pressures that we put on ourselves and taking every day one step at a time. So now that the clocks have gone back, we've grabbed an extra hour. It's lighter earlier. And for me, it makes a difference. I don't know about you. Does it make a difference in your morning routine? Do you even have a morning routine? I guess if you're working from home, does that change the way that you would go about your morning routine as well? Obviously, you can sleep longer, I'm guessing. You can leave it slightly later. You might not necessarily make as much of an effort to be as presentable for your Zoom calls as you would be for a day in the office. Definitely don't have to put your shoes on. When I have a morning routine, I feel like my day goes so much better as a result of having it. But my morning routine over the last couple of, I'd say probably month or so, I found myself sleeping in. It's really hard, isn't it? It's hard to get up, get yourself out of bed and get yourself out and about to do something that's nowhere near as cozy and comfortable and alluring as just laying in your nice, warm bed. But yeah, as I say, the clocks have gone back, so I've seen it as an opportunity. I've seen it as an opportunity to say you've fallen off of a few of your good habits and you want to integrate them back into your day. Well, this is how you're going to do it. So today I've got two things, and my morning routine needs to be fixed, or it needs to exist. And secondly, connectedness. So what do I mean by connectedness? I mean that I think that we benefit from being in constant contact ultimately with those that we love and care about. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't have to be that you ring everyone in your life on a daily basis. That's unrealistic. But for all of us, we probably have a kind of understanding between those relationships as to how often you want to see each other socially, how often you want to speak to each other on the phone, or just communicate generally. My ability to stay connected with people is so much more of a conscious battle than I ever remember it actually being, to the extent where sometimes I find it really hard to ring people. And I've no idea whether it's like there are elements of guilt over the fact that I let my relationships drift with people, or whether there's a bit of an insecurity knocking around, you know, it slipped away and I won't be able to bring it back. And look, the reason I'm bringing up connectedness is not just to, again, spout off one of my own vulnerabilities and issues, but also I think that we need our connections and our friendships and our family to be closer than ever with what we've experienced over the last 18 months and what we're heading into. I mean, I'm not really reinventing the wheel here. I think that's quite obvious to a lot of us probably, but I just wanted to let me ask you, like, how are you doing with your relationships? How much fuel are you putting into them? Do you feel like you've drifted from people because of the isolation that the last 18 months has created? Relationships are like rockets, aren't they? And they'll only go as far as you fuel them. I suppose I could have just said cars. It doesn't have to be as fancy as a rocket. But how do we reconnect? This is what I've recognised. I want to be more connected to my friends. I have the space, the time to do that now. But for whatever reason, there is a handbrake. And does it apply to all friends? I think it does. I just think it does. It's definitely not them. It's me. It doesn't matter whether they call me every day or not. I, again, realise that it's something we learn when we're teenagers and we're quite needy of our friends, is that, people won't just call you out of nowhere. You have to obviously give them the reason to give you a call. And sometimes it's because we've created a habit. At the moment, I have no real communicational habits with anyone other than my children and my wife. I've got loads of friends, by the way. I've got the best friends. But yeah, I absolutely need to learn why the handbrake's up and to learn how to just ease it down a little bit. That said, you know, I spoke to a few friends when I was on a long journey up north very recently, and checked in. That feels really good. And what I also, just in case anybody, you know, does identify with this, what I recognise at all times is that once I've spoke to one person, it's almost like the seal has been broken. And then I'm ready to speak to literally everybody in my phone book. So it really is about that initial fear of, I don't know what, is it rejection? It's not that I'm worried that they won't answer the phone, because it just isn't that. I really don't mind if I have to leave a voice message. Yeah, I've no idea. I've absolutely no idea why something that comes so naturally to so many, and certainly used to come very naturally to me, has all of a sudden become a bit of an issue, a bit of a mountain. But I'm not just going to leave you with that thought. I'm obviously, as a coach, then going to tell you what I did to help myself. So I've always got a little strategy. There's always a little plan. So what I did, and forgive me for this, because you'll think, oh, really? But I wrote down all of my family members and friends that I want to stay in touch with on a regular basis. And then what I did is divided them by 7, which gave me groups of 8 or 9. And then I allocated a mixture of family and friends to each day of the week. So Monday through to Sunday, I have a list of 8 people that I'm going to contact. And it might be that I ring them sometimes. It might be that I just message them, say, hi, just checking in, just seeing how you are. Or it might be that you send them something funny, or, you know, obviously whatever you want that communication to be. But maybe that list is what you need. You might have more people, you might have less. It's not a competition on the numbers front. It's more just about every day when you sit down, can you glance at something that reminds you that you've just got to build into, hopefully, your time boxing and all the things that you're doing that day, communicating with X amount of people in whichever way you see fit. And that is going to get it done, isn't it? Then every week you'll have completed a cycle of communicating with everybody that you care about and love, and that'll feel great, won't it? And also, when we communicate with people, you know, we learn things and we make plans, and I think that actually it probably goes a long way to shaping what the next week looks like or the week after that. So we know that there are a lot of benefits to just knowing that we've spoken to our friends, but actually I think it goes way deeper than that as well. I think that if we're talking about feeling like this is a really valuable time right now where we're not in restrictions, so really we should be making the most of it, just in case we do have a sense that, well, you know, it's going to be a rough winter, then, you know, using that technique to communicate with your friends on a daily basis, that's probably going to be really important for us, isn't it?
This first question is from Sally. She says that she finds the winter particularly hard, especially as she likes to get up early and walk 5 miles before the school run. She's looking for the positives and motivation, especially with such dark mornings.
What I would say is it's not about looking for motivation at that time, because I don't think it's natural for us to feel something that looks and feels like motivation. I think that it's really normal for us to have a bit of a battle. And again, in order to make that battle in the morning as easily won as it can be, we would definitely have our phone plugged in as far away from the bed as we can. If it's close to your bed, then you know what you're going to do. You're going to snooze it. So I know that one works, because once you're on your feet, and especially if you can plug it in actually next to your bathroom door, because then you're going to walk into your bathroom and you are going to jump in that shower, aren't you? So that then signals that you're up. I've shared this before, I'll share it again. Get your teeth cleaned as soon as you can. I don't know why, but there's something about what cleaning your teeth as an act does to the mind. And that is like to almost say to it, right, you're up, you've cleaned your teeth, so there's no way you're going back to bed now. And also the other thing that I've found really helps at times when I have been able to spring out of bed and stay up is that I would have my clothes laid out so that you'd literally, you know, have to trip over it to not be able to just sling it on. And then you'll be dressed, you've washed, you've cleaned your teeth, you're up. Yeah, and then at that point, you're about, and you're that much more likely to then go into whatever that next habit is that you're looking to do. You know, it's I think we should really pay attention as well to the habits that exist that we can stack others onto. And actually, you know, what do you do when you walk out the bedroom having successfully got out of bed? I think it's good to just observe what those little patterns are, because if they work, then we should try and replicate them. Sometimes we don't recognise the detail, and we think that it's just about winning that battle with ourselves. But actually, there are a lot of things that probably go into whether that battle is won or whether it's lost. I've already obviously mentioned, you know, the phone not being too close to the bed, and laying your clothes out and brushing your teeth. But actually, beyond that, outside of the room, it's not definite then. I'm trying to relate this to my own experiences, that sometimes I don't then go into exercising straight away. Sometimes I get sucked into sitting at my desk, and it's like 5:10. But I'll sit at my desk and I'll tell myself that, you know, doing some research for the football game that I'll be doing next for BT, I'll do that first. And actually, that would be the only sort of negative. That would be the only thing, because I don't want to go straight into work. Those 2 hours I want to protect. They're for my self-development just as much as, you know, the morning routine that you're describing, Sally, that is for you as well. So is it that we put our running trainers like just at the bottom of the stairs, that we put them on our feet? Do you see what I mean? Those little additional efforts that we can make that eliminate the chances of us not doing what it is that we're setting out to do. Because I honestly, just in those early hours, especially when it's dark, it still will be dark, there are lots of ways that it can go wrong. There are lots of ways that it cannot happen. There are lots of reasons why we can go back straight to bed. There are lots of reasons why we might get as far as being downstairs, but actually get sucked into doing the wrong things, when actually it pays to get the hard stuff done as soon as possible, because once they're done, you're feeling great. I've experienced it many times. You feel on top of the world. There's no way that your day can get the better of you. So unless you are super motivated, you're training for an event, or you are a runner or something to that extent, then I think you have to work really hard at making sure that you can achieve what it is that you set out to achieve. And I know, again, just bringing it round to what I mentioned last week about time boxing, it's really important as well, because I know that I can be a real servant to the list, if you like. So if I've stipulated that I'm walking out the door and I'm going for a walk for 20 minutes, and that whilst on that walk, I'm going to sit down on a bench and I'm going to meditate, then because I've written it down, again, that can be the difference between me doing it or not. And when I don't time box it, then all of a sudden I've left myself with too many different routes that I could take, and my brain will naturally select, as I'm sure most people's would, the easiest thing, the most comfortable thing, as opposed to what the best order for these things to go in would be. And it's always to get the hardest thing done first, isn't it?
This next question comes from Melissa. She says, the prospect of one of us becoming unwell and having to isolate means I'm constantly on high alert. I'm trying to work out my options when it comes to juggling work, childcare, my husband's busy work schedule, now he's travelling again. I think the lockdown has taken its toll on everyone and there was no real time to recover. So is it hard to find the motivation to ignite a new routine?
In order to start a new routine, really what it, I think, requires is maybe to sit down and talk to the people that you live with. Say that you want to make a fresh start in the morning, and that you want to introduce some new things that are going to be really difficult in the early stages because they require quite radical changes. Might be changes to your sleep pattern, your bedtime, the time you get up, the things that you do and in what order. And obviously these things impact on the people that you live with as well. But what you might be surprised at is that the people that you live with might be really open to trying new things as well. And as a result, I always think that, firstly, the reason why I would say share it is because it breeds a sense of accountability. When we say that we're going to do something and we say it out loud as opposed to just sharing it within our own mind, I think there is far more chance of it actually happening, especially if we're someone that's quite proud You know, we feel like, right, I've done it now. I've made a pact with the family to do something, and you don't want to be that person that lets anyone down. So that is always a really good place to start when it comes to instigating change and a new routine. Then I would say if you can also make it potentially into a game as well, and you can sort of challenge people that you live with. Right, I'm getting up earlier. Whoever gets up with me gets some X for breakfast, or, you know, gets a sweet for after school, whatever example that you would come up with. So again, what we're using is ways of motivating everybody else and incentivizing, which gives your plan and your need far greater chance of actually seeing light of day. So the mistake we make a lot of the time is that we keep our wants and our desires to ourselves. And as a result, you know, we only ever really know whether we've failed or whether we've achieved what we set out to do. And you could say, well, there's a safety in that, but that's the problem, is that it's too safe, too easy. It's too easy to renege on, isn't it? It's too easy to not follow through. So the best thing to do is to share it and be a little bit brave and to incentivize people and to make a competition out of it, or to set a reward where if you do it, you know, and you can say this to everybody in the house, if you do it for 5 days running, then you all get a treat, which might be a trip to the cinema, or it might be that you get to go to your favorite restaurant together as a family. Then all of a sudden, there are layers upon layers of motivation for not just you, but for others to get across the line in terms of hitting whatever those targets are. I don't know about you guys, but right now I feel like I'm almost up against time. It is that sense of feeling like something's coming, without necessarily knowing what it is, when it is, and what it will present itself as. So all of a sudden I feel like, no, right, we need to go out on Saturday night. We need to get those people together to go for a meal. We need to stay connected. I need to call these people. I need to ask them how they are, where they're at, how everything's going. You know, it's almost like it's motivating me. Motivation can come from different places. Sometimes good, sometimes less so. It's either something that you want to achieve or something that you want to avoid. And I would say that it's an avoidance thing, and I want to avoid wasting time. I've always been big on that anyway. But do you ever experience the feeling of discontent based on a feeling that you're not doing enough? Now is time to get and see people, get and do things, go to theatre, go to cinema, just go out and do. My gut instinct right now is telling me to really appreciate the opportunities that we have now to go and be social. So I'm not forcing you all to go out. See, only do what you're comfortable with. But I just thought I'd share something that I was feeling because it might be relevant to you.
We've had a suggestion or a tip from Martin on what helps him when it comes to dealing with the cold weather and dark nights. His tip is, with the cold weather and dark skies, it's the perfect time of year to learn something new. I'll be learning how to photograph galaxies.
Excellent. Do you know what, again, like, I wonder whether a lot of people are actually thinking outside the box and outside their normal routine or their normal interests. I wonder whether that is almost like an admission of what I said about feeling like time is precious at the moment, and that we need to be a little bit more honest with ourselves about the ambitions that we've got, the things that we're interested in, and how actually now might really be the time for us to start exploring what these things are and how good they can be for us. Because that is exactly what that sounds like. But, you know, if it's something that makes you happy, it's definitely the right time of year for it, isn't it? Yeah, I love the star. Who doesn't love looking up at the stars when there's a blanket of stars? Even better, really, just sleeping outdoors when it's a really clear night and all you can see is stars above your head. And it just, yeah, just gives you a real sense of scale and just how small we are, and how it makes your issues feel a lot smaller as well when you just sort of look up and realise that you're just literally a tiny little speck in the grand scheme of it. But enjoy that. And again, I'm going to ask everybody else, what if you are finding that you're waking up to the realization that time is precious, maybe more precious than we've ever really given it credit for, what sort of things are you going to do with your time?
This next message comes from Claire. She says that she has a weekly routine of keeping in contact with her friends. And she says the key thing with that is that they always make plans for weekend adventures.
Yeah, again, you've preempted really what I'd already said about connectedness and having my lists of which friends to contact on which day. You know, some people, and I recognise this in my wife as well, she prioritises her social time more so than I ever have done. And it's something I've always admired. Like, she sees all her friends, she speaks to all of her friends. Like, she doesn't have the issue that I've got with keeping up with everybody, that's for sure. Yeah, so I admire the fact that you not just plan for connectedness, but you also plan for adventure as well. And actually, I think that's an addition to what I was saying. For me, it's just good to be connected, but actually, you know, we should be having adventures as well, shouldn't we? So thank you for suggesting that, or for sharing that, really. You didn't make any suggestions as such, but I definitely caught that one. That landed right where it needed to for me. So connectedness is one thing. Am I planning for adventures? And also to make memories, I think that's vital. And that's another thing that's been going through my mind that I didn't say earlier, really, is that making memories, how important is that? It's always important. It's always been important. What memories are we making at the moment? So here's my takeaways from today's episode. So morning routine, I think it's the difference between having a good day or a great day. I know that when my morning routines have been there, that I feel just 10 times better and lighter and more positive and more fulfilled and more satisfied than I would do otherwise. So I really would love to hear about your morning routine, what you're challenging yourself to do and how you're challenging yourself to do it. Secondly, connectedness is really, really important as well. I've obviously told you about my ways to make sure that I'm developing those relationships that I let drift and sort of idle for so many years. People that I really love and care about and that I know will always be in my life, but I want to make sure that I'm as close to them now as I can be, because I know that we're heading into uncertain times. And so as a result, I want to make sure that they know where I am, I know where they are, and that I can help them if they need any help, or that we can just make each other feel better by at least knowing that someone has listened to whatever the other one is going through. I know that's the basic premise of friendships, and you know obviously how they work. But as I say, for me, it's a real focus. And then lastly, time. Time's always been precious. That's never changed, but the perspective does, doesn't it? My perspective at the minute is that because I don't know what the future holds, all of a sudden the here and now becomes even more valuable. So I know that we're in this really precious transition of time where we've been in restrictions previously, and it's possible that we might head back into restrictions. So right now, when we can go and do anything that we want with whoever we want to do it with, it makes sense for us to go on those adventures and make those memories. And that's all I can think about on a daily basis, really, is how I want to make the most of my time, embrace the time that I've got, and not waste any of it. Thanks very much for listening to this episode of Only Human. If you like what you've heard, you can hear more episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Absolute Radio app, or wherever you get yours. And remember, please rate and review the show. If you'd like more support or advice, please go to absoluteradio.co.uk/time-to-listen for details of some amazing organisations we work with who can help. Thanks to the team at TBI Media for their help again with the production of this wonderful podcast.